Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Welcome into the lounge presented by DraftKings. Today is the day. Lock it in. There's no going back. Our seven-round Ravens mock drafts are done in ink.
Yes, they are finalized. We are excited to share those. I'm Garrett Downing. This is Ryan Mink, and we are here to give you our full seven-round mock drafts. So the Ravens will be on the clock here in just a day from now, and this is an exciting time. Also, just as we get to kind of set the table here, we want to let everyone know we're going to be doing a live episode of Lounge Thursday night to get you ready for draft coverage.
Talk about being in ink. There's no eraser when you go live.
There's no eraser.
There's no going back.
No five-second delay button either. It is live, all right? And that's going to be Thursday night, and you'll be able to watch that on our app, our website, our YouTube channel. That's going to be streamed live from a draft party that the Ravens are hosting for some PSL owners. So make sure that you watch that Thursday night. But today is about the seven-round mocks.
Yep.
We have been, before we walked in here, you know, Mink was shifting things around at the 11th hour.
I picked my guy today. Like,
I mean, I'm probably going later than today.
I was still making changes 5 minutes. We're late to start recording because I was still working on my Ravens 7-round mock. And at lunch today, somebody was like, "So, who is it? I was like, "I got an hour still to decide, buddy. Yeah. All right, don't rush me."
That's exactly what George Kikina said when we asked him, as the board said. He's like, "Well, what time does the draft start?"
Exactly. Then. Exactly. So, but it's locked in. I'm not going to change. All right. I'm going to be a man of my word. This is going to be the written version. This is the pod version. No changes. They're backsies.
All right. So let's go ahead and kick things off. Who do you have the Ravens taking?
First, we should say, like, somebody was just asking us, real smart Alec, Sean Hubbard here in the room, and he's like, "Do you guys ever get any of these picks right?"
Yeah.
Here's the truth. Yes, we're pretty good at this.
Yeah, we have a pretty good track record if you go back through the years. Last year, and of course,
I don't know, like, why I teed you up to brag, but
yeah, exactly. Thank you very much. I was waiting for this opportunity. Last year, I nailed the Zay Flowers pick that the Ravens had in the first round. I hit Patrick Queen years before that. I think I hit CJ Mosley. I also hit, going back to 2013, Matt Elam, Arthur Brown.
Back to back. I'm kind of the mid to late round guy. I'm really good at those. A lot of swings and misses in the first round for me.
Yeah.
So you should probably take that with a grain of salt.
Your move, and this it'll be great if this happens again, because it'll just be funny, is your move is, it's one thing if the guy that you want, you're like, "I'm hoping that such and such gets to the Ravens," but he gets picked before, then you can basically say, "Well, they would have taken him." Right. Of course, you can make that excuse. Yeah. Your move is always to pick a guy who the Ravens ultimately pass on in the first round. And then
last year, my guy was the Maryland corner, Deontay Banks, who ended up going not right after Zay Flowers, but I think two picks after Zay Flowers.
Yep.
But let's be fair. Last year, Zay Flowers was my guy.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
He was the wide receiver I loved the most, and I was like, "Oh, I like erased that one." I was really in and out on that, and then you ended up just swooping in on my guy, Zay Flowers.
Yeah, you were wrong, but it's okay. So let's see. We'll see who ends up getting bragging rights this year. So with all that to set the table, who do you got the Ravens taking at number 30?
Well, I'm not going to make the mistake again of not predicting the right wide receiver. So I'm taking wide receiver Adonai Mitchell from Texas. And this might be a surprise, because we've said countless times on this podcast, I wouldn't expect that Eric DaCosta would take his fourth first-round receiver in the past 6 years. But I think that a lot of the offensive tackles that we've talked about in this pre-draft process, Amarius Mims, Tyler Guyton, those kind of guys, Graham Barton, I think they're going to be gone. I think that it's going to be pretty cleaned out among a lot of those premier guys, that the rest of the league also sees the potential of these guys despite their limited experience, and I think they're gone. And so I think that's going to present an opportunity for the Ravens to just grab best player available, and that's Adonai Mitchell. Look, this passing offense, the next step is to hit the big play. Mm-hmm. That's what was missing last year. And Adonai Mitchell is that guy. I mean, he is aptly named. The guy's an Adonis physically, right? 6'2", ran the 40-yard dash in 4.34 seconds, can jump out the gym. I mean, the guy, from a physical standpoint, he's a freak, athletic freak. Now, he didn't have big-time production at Texas. That's also because another possible first-round wide receiver, Xavier Worthy, was there. And so he had pretty big stats, too. But Mitchell has a track record of making clutch plays, big-time plays in big games. That's what the Ravens need. I think that there's a potential he and Zay Flowers would really complement each other well. Adonai Mitchell works very well out of the slot. I think he could be, you know, when you talk about those slot fades that the Ravens tried to connect on a number of times last year, Adonai Mitchell is that guy to make that play. So I think that he would be a really great addition. You continue to just restock this wide receiver room for Lamar Jackson.
But you couldn't help yourself. You see a first round wide receiver there that could make sense. The board could fall in that direction, and you just had to go that way.
I was really, this whole time, I was really locked in on Amarius Mims or one of those tackles, but I just don't think they're going to get there.
Well, that's fair, but now let's go to my pick, and I'm going with the tackle, but it's not Amarius Mims. It's not Tyler Guyton. It's Jordan Morgan out of Arizona. I think that this is a player who is a very high floor player. He can play. He's a versatile player who can play. He's played left tackle throughout his college career. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have the same size as Mims or Guyton. Jordan Morgan, 6'5", 311 pounds. So he's not like this 6'8" mountain of a man when you compare him to Mims and Guyton. But he's a very productive player who's just been a really good player at Arizona throughout his career. Mm-hmm. And I think that some of the scouts or the analysts say that he might project best as a guard at the next level. You know, when we've had people on the podcast, we had Cole Jackson on the podcast, and we talked to him about all these offensive linemen. He said, he could be a tackle. I mean, he's good enough. He's that good, you know, that he could absolutely be a tackle, but he also has that flexibility where he can play guard. So he could help you at tackle or guard in the immediacy. He could also be a long-term solution at either tackle spot. And I just think that you get a really good player. And I think that, you know, Guyton is, I do think Mims or Guyton will be there. I think of the two, it seems like Guyton is more likely to be there. The reason I went with Morgan, who also seems like he will probably be there, is Guyton more, less experienced, a little bit more of a developmental prospect. All of the rankings and the write-ups on him basically say this is a guy who's got a really high ceiling, but he's a bit more developmental, a bit more raw, where Morgan feels like maybe a touch more NFL ready.
A little more plug and play.
Potentially.
Of the two, he might be more ready to contribute day one for the Ravens. And they need a right tackle.
They need a right tackle.
Well, I mean, they have Fowler.
Right. They need to replace three starters along their offensive line.
That's correct.
And I think that if you draft Jordan Morgan there, he can step in at one of those three spots.
Well, the nice part about Jordan Morgan is even if you do ultimately say, all right, guard is his long-term best position. Well, if he's a really, really good guard and you got him pick 30, that's still a win.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, Ben Grubbs was a really good player for the Ravens for a number of years, kind of a late first-round pick just like that. And so I don't hate the pick. I think that he's a solid player. I think he's a very good player. I think you said it best with high floor. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you're going to get a good player here who, and part of, I think, why people necessarily don't put the ceiling on him is, you know, he was coming off a knee injury, a pretty major knee injury that he then was coming off last year.
He happened in 2022, he tore his ACL in 2022.
That's correct. And he was going to come out of the draft probably that year. He was having a great year, tore his knee up late in the year, came back, and some of the kind of high-end potential might be by virtue of, all right, he was still coming back from the knee, so you didn't see quite the athleticism, the ability to anchor versus power, all that stuff, because he was coming off the knee. That's maybe the hope.
Right, but he also still played every game last year and played at a high level. It's not like it was a big, it's not like he didn't get back on the field.
No, totally.
Yeah, he was good last
year. But I'm saying that there's reason to believe maybe because of the knee that there's a higher ceiling than what the tape showed last year.
Yeah, look, we've seen plenty of times where that knee injury can be a 2-year recovery process.
Yep.
Last year, he still played at a high level, and if he could take it to another level at the pros, then you'd be getting a really good player at 30. At somebody who can be a tackle, certainly, but also has that guard day one potential as well.
Yep. All right. Well, you mentioned Cole Jackson and, you know, said that he really liked your guy.
Yes.
But you know who Cole's favorite guy is?
I can't remember.
Kingsley Suamataia.
Yeah, that's right.
And so I'm taking him with my second round pick. And now some people have had him in the first round. There's a wide range.
Offensive tackle out of Yale.
Not out of Yale, BYU.
BYU, sorry.
Yes. Kingsley Suamataia, offensive tackle, BYU. Second round pick for me. Thank you, Garrett. But, you know, I really think there's a wide range where he can be picked. I mean, looking at some of the mock drafts and big boards out there, I mean, Daniel Jeremiah has him at 121, right? Like, there's
so you're taking him at 62?
Nate Tice has him as high as 22, right?
So wide range,
very wide range, right? The 33rd team, 37, Dane Brugler, 40,
yeah,
right? So, like, he could go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's kind of the theme with some of these next tier of offensive tackles, maybe even lump in Jordan Morgan. But I think you look at him, you look at Suamataia, you look at Patrick Paul, you look at Roger Rosengarten, like, it seems like there's not a consensus, like I was talking about yesterday. And so there's a real chance, I believe, that the Ravens, if they... I see those top offensive tackles like Mims being off the board. There's a real chance that they say, all right, we'll go in a different direction first round. Second round, we're going to get one of those guys who they might believe this is a first round talent.
Yeah.
And we get him in the second round. Kingsley has all the tools. I mean, he's big. He's nimble. He can be physical. He can get out and bury some people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, he's cousins with Penny Sewell, you know?
So he has to be good.
you know, like, this is a guy that, give him the Joe D'Alessandris, and he might be able to coach him. You know, there's some refinement there with technique and all that stuff. He needs some refinement, but he could be coached into being a really top-end, top left tackle for this team, or right tackle. He can play either spot. There's position flexibility, and he could really develop in him into being a top-tier tackle.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, look, I think that... Well, both of us have the Ravens taking a tackle with their first two picks. I would be very surprised if they do not address offensive tackle with their top two picks.
Like, with one of their top two.
With one of their top two
picks. To me, the dream scenario for the Ravens, and what I really wanted to do and had penciled in for a long time, was Amarius Mims at 30 in the first round, and then Xavier Leggett,
wide receiver out of South Carolina
in the second round. That's my dream scenario. But the more I think about it, I think they're both going to be too. They're going to both be gone by the time the Ravens are on the clock with these picks.
I mean, we talked a little bit about Mims. I think he probably is gone when the Ravens are there at 30. I don't think it's 100%, but I'm going to go 75% that he's gone. Mm-hmm. The second round. I think the second round. Before I share who I'm going to take in the second round, there it's interesting because I think at the top half of the second round, you have some receivers who could be good fits for the Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
Xavier Leggett is one of those. Ricky Pearsall is another one of those.
Yep.
But those guys are probably in the top half of the second round. So the Ravens would either have to maybe move back from the first round and then or move up in the second round or a combination of the two in order to get those guys. And you potentially could do that. I mean, I'm not like totally ruling out. We talked through that in yesterday's podcast in more detail. If you want to go back and check that out, I think it's possible, but I think it's more likely than not that the Ravens end up sitting and picking at number 30.
Yep.
And then I think that I think that some of those receivers will be gone. And that's why I have the Ravens. I really consider Ricky Pearsall there. I just don't think he's going to make it to 62. I have the Ravens at 62 addressing cornerback and taking Kamari Lassiter out of Georgia.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So they get their corner in the second round. He's 6 foot, 186 pounds, helped them win a pair of national championships, played on a great defense there. And everything that you read about him and you see from him, he looks and plays like a Raven. This is a guy like comes up and run defense. Mm-hmm. Plays with an attitude, mm-hmm. great athleticism. I think he could give them immediate depth. He can play inside and outside, but he would give them immediate depth in the secondary at the corner position right now. He also could potentially step into a starting role. I mean, Brandon Stevens is in the last year of his contract, you know, so mm-hmm. you're always looking to replenish the cornerback room. And I think the Ravens have kind of looked at that, you know, for a couple of years, and now they get a guy as a high pick, you know, relatively high pick. So they get a second round guy there to come in and help restock that room. I think Lasseter, I actually asked him, because at the time, earlier in this process, there was talk of him as a first round pick. Mm-hmm. Mel Kiper actually mocked him to the Ravens in the first round at one point.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like he's going to be a first round pick now, but I asked him at the combine, like, there's a, you know, some mocks that have you going to the Ravens. What do you think about that? And he said, that would be an amazing opportunity. They pride themselves on defense. I pride myself on defense.
Well, of course he does. He's a cornerback.
And
he better.
So he also talked about going up against Todd Monken's offense yeah. at Georgia and how, you know, he would love the chance to kind of go against them again.
I agree. I think that's a solid pick. I've kind of seen him floating around near the end of the second round and thought to myself a number of times, all right, a good, strong corner out of Georgia, like, that checks a lot of boxes.
Yeah.
There's another corner that I really debated with for a long time in the second round. That's Max Melton out of Rutgers. The write-ups on him just scream Raven. You know, a really physical guy. Again, got the speed, got the athleticism, the size. You know, just really sticky in coverage, got some ball production. I kind of like Melton a little bit better than I'd like Lasseter, but I think that's a solid pick. And I do think that second round corner seems to be a little bit of a sweet spot.
Yeah,
it's a good marriage.
That was like, okay, so receiver, it seemed like the second round receiver market could get picked.
Yeah.
The second round tackle market, even though, you know, you went with your guy Swamatia, as you mentioned, he could go earlier, he could go later, but it felt like, and like the thing on tackle, part of the reason I went tackle in the first round is, I go back to when we had the conversation with Daniel Jeremiah, and he basically said that there's 8 really good tackles. And then after that, there's a pretty steep drop off. And I'm putting Morgan in that class of 8. Mm-hmm. You know, he's in that top 8. And so I felt like you address that in the first. It may not be as available in the second round to address. Now maybe Swamatia ends up being there. You put him in that.
Or Patrick Paul.
Or Patrick Paul, and you put one of those guys. And this is Jeremiah's opinion. We don't know if that's the Ravens' opinion. But I just felt like addressing that in the first, and then in the second, if the receiver market is picked through, cornerback could be a kind of a sweet spot there at the end of the second, which is where Lasseter probably will end up being.
I think you're in the right spot. I had to take the tackle in the second.
Yeah,
if you don't take him in the first,
you're scrambling.
Oh, for
you're
sure.
You're trying to play catch up.
Exactly.
Just take tackle with your next 3 picks.
You know, and I was tempted to take corner in the first. I really think Kool-Aid McKinstry, if I didn't take Adani Mitchell, And it's not a tackle, I think it's Kool-Aid.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a high probability that Kool-Aid McKinstry could be the pick.
I think so too. I think the thing on him, and this is what we don't know, is the medical checks. You know, he's been dealing with a foot injury.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the status of that? You know, we saw last year, you know, Marlon Humphrey was dealing with a foot injury. I have no idea if it's the same thing or not, but a foot injury for a corner is concerning.
Yeah.
And so you just have to make sure that the medical checks are good.
Speaking of medical checks, the recent reports that Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU is dealing with a labrum issue, a little bit of shoulder. Like, if that knocked him down the board, I think that he and Adani Mitchell, they're going to be neck and neck. The Bills are going to take a wide receiver.
Yeah.
I would be surprised if the Bills don't take a first-round wide receiver between Thomas Jr., Adani Mitchell, and Xavier Worthy. Like, one of those is going to get picked by the Bills. I would be surprised if it's not.
Yeah.
But if Brian Thomas Jr. were there for the Ravens at 30, that would be a steal. Run it up.
Yeah, I think that would be a great pick. And just going back to Kool-Aid again, I think he would be a really good pick again. You just want to make sure that you feel good about the medical situation there. Because I think that if the tackles, as you're predicting, are gone in the first round, then you're going to be looking at a really quality player at probably receiver or cornerback, or potentially edge. Maybe one of the edge players could fall down, but I think that you're going to be in a best player available situation and have your pick there, and I think you'll be in a really good spot.
My prediction is there's a lot of teams that have wide receiver and offensive tackle high on their needs. My prediction is a lot of teams picking ahead of the Ravens are going to take their tackle first and come back in the second and take their wide receiver. So the Ravens zig when they zag.
Mm-hmm.
That's my prediction.
All right. So moving on to the third round here, round 3, pick number 93.
Yep.
Who you got?
I'm going heavy.
Heavy.
I'm going tackle again.
All right.
back to back. Let's go.
So this is just the hedge. Basically, you're like, if I'm not going to get one of them, I'm just going to hedge.
I'm hitting a tackle. All right. So I'm going with offensive tackle Brandon Coleman out of TCU.
Okay.
This dude is built like a refrigerator. I mean, broad, just a brawler, just big body. You know, he's not the tallest guy. Like, he's not the Marius Mims, but he's got good size. The way he plays the position, the physicality that he plays with really screams Raven. And then he went to the combine and just destroyed it. I mean, one of the most athletic offensive linemen of the past decades, right? So that really checked the box. He played every position at TCU, log snaps at every spot except for center. So a lot of people think that his best, kind of like your Jordan Morgan guy.
Yeah.
It reminds me of Jordan Morgan in a way. A lot of starting experience at tackle, but a lot of people think that his best spot might be at guard.
Mm-hmm.
He could play either for the Ravens. I mean, there's a possibility that we're looking in 2025 at my next two picks as the starting tackles, even.
Yeah.
Kingsley and Brandon Coleman, right? And so gives you that versatility. The Ravens are not messing around when they're talking about rebuilding in the line. They are not fooling around. They're rebuilding this offensive line, and I think that they could take two with their first three picks and come out of this to say, how do you like us now?
Yeah, well,
we got the big boys.
I think that they, honestly, as I was going through this mock, I've got another offensive lineman, not in the third round, but I've got another one. But it would not surprise me if it ends up being three.
Yep.
Over the course of the draft. So in the third round, you know, I've already addressed corner. I've already addressed the offensive line.
You're going wide receiver.
And so here I'm going wide receiver.
Okay. Who'd you take?
I'm taking Jerry Rice's son, Brandon Rice. And I can already see it. I can already see it during the press conference. I can already see it.
You fell for the story.
I fell for the story. I love the story. NFL bloodlines. His dad, the best receiver of all time. And now he ends up here in Baltimore. And he's not just Jerry Rice's son. He's a productive player himself. He had 12 touchdowns last year at USC. 6'2", 208 pounds. So he gives the Ravens a big-bodied wide receiver in the middle of the draft. And this is a guy who just kind of steadily improved throughout his college career. I mean, he's, of course, been compared to his dad his entire life. Started his college career at Colorado, transferred to USC, and then had a really good season last year for the Trojans. Like I said, 12 touchdowns. And that's who it is in the third round, pick 93.
You see, this is the social media. You're wearing your social media hat on this one.
I can see the press conference right now. Mm-hmm. It's just too good of a story.
Yeah. I mean, sure. I like the player. I like the player. Don't mistake my reaction as to a knock on the player. I think he's a good player. I would like it too. It'd be a great story. I'm just saying, that's just so you.
Yeah, you got to look. The Ravens actually value, like,
but they know that's not the kind of story they value. That's the kind of story you, big point.
No.
You value.
Not value. They value. They value having NFL bloodlines. That was something actually John Lynch this week talked about.
I saw John Lynch talked about it. I haven't heard Ravens, Ravens
look,
talk about it.
If you look at the Ravens history, there's plenty of guys who they have drafted and selected and added to this team who have
who's NFL, like dad playing the league or whatnot. Yeah.
Marlon Humphrey, of course, Keaton Mitchell, another
Rashad
example. Rashad Perriman is another example. Like, there's plenty of examples of this over the years where they have selected players whose dad or uncle played in the NFL. And that's Brandon true. Rice is going to be the next.
I mean, you can't get a better bloodline than that.
No, you cannot. You cannot.
All right, I like it. I like it. All right, fourth round. I'm going with one of my favorite players in the draft.
Ooh,
here.
Okay.
Okay, and this isn't the Ravens' highest need, but I don't even know that it's necessarily a perfect fit for the Ravens, but I just like this guy too much, so I had to take him, okay? This is safety Malik Mustafa from Wake Forest.
Okay.
This dude, I mentioned him on the pod yesterday. He might be the best tackling defensive back. He probably is the best tackling defensive back in the draft, the entire draft.
Mm.
Get him in the fourth round. I mean, you know, not a big body guy, but Geno Stone wasn't a tall safety. He wasn't a big safety either. Now, Geno Stone was more of a free safety, and Malik is more of a strong safety, playing down in the box, closer to the box guy. But I just think this guy can run. He hits. He would be a great addition for this run defense and a great special teams player to get in the fourth round. We all know how much the Ravens value special teams. I think a very valuable third safety to work into the mix.
Mm. All right. Well, in the fourth round, pick number 113, I have the Ravens going back to address the offensive line. So okay. I take a second tackle here. Matt Goncalves out of Pitt, 6'6", 327 pounds.
You are just throwing darts. You don't even know this guy.
Do I know? What do you mean I don't know this guy?
You barely know how to say his name.
Yeah. Look, you have probably mispronounced half the guy's names that you're talking about here.
I think I got Swamatia right.
Yeah, exactly.
But I keep going back to Kingsley. But I just keep saying Kingsley. Have you noticed that?
I've noticed. Don't even know his last name. But no, he's played both tackle spots at Pitt. So he's a player, team captain. Red star. Get that red star.
Like you're just wrong on this one.
No.
This is a miss.
No. It's a miss. He's basically, you can plug him in immediately as a backup at either of those spots, right tackle, left tackle. Still develop him. Got a ton of starting experience in college. So, 6'6", 327 pounds, a lot of experience, quality player. You get him in the middle rounds. I like that pick. That's the guy.
This is a miss. No. Your past two picks are misses.
No.
Yeah, that's a miss. Fourth round, number 130. I'm going with cornerback. I have not addressed corner yet.
Yeah, here we go.
Cornerback.
Scrambling. He's scrambling,
I'm not
folks.
Scrambling. This is a very solid pick. Cam Hart from Notre Dame. Mm. Guess who's his best buddy?
Kyle Hamilton?
Kyle Hamilton. Guess where he grew up?
Where is that?
Baltimore. Okay. Oh my God. It's too good to be true. He's got the size. He's got the athleticism. This guy, like coming off the bus, you're looking at Cam Hart and you're like, yes, I'm picking him first for my kickball team.
we're playing NFL football, not kickball.
Both. Okay. Like, you know, he's got some things to clean up, but I think that he plays with a high motor. He's a very athletic prospect that you can work with. There's a lot to like about Cam Hart. He and Kyle Hamilton are going to be terrorizing opposing receivers.
I like that now you're so desperate to find the story.
No,
basically like,
it's just a great pick.
If Kyle Hamilton was able to make the selection, this is who he would pick. It's his buddy. They were roommates in college, so he's going to be.
Hey, how did Kyle Hamilton work out?
Yeah, exactly.
Huh? Is he a good player? Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Knows ball.
Uh-huh.
He knows how to pick his friends. All right. Because Cam Hart's a stud.
My pick, number 130. And this is, I actually really like this pick. I know that this is.
I hate it already.
No. You don't do the deep dive. You don't do the deep dive.
You don't do any kind. I do way more of the deep dive than you.
You don't do the deep dives. I am like the Raven scouts who turn over every possible stone, including the small schools looking for the perfect player.
Oh, because Eric DeCosta has really been a big small school guy.
And so they find guys, diamonds in the rough, and they go get a pass rusher, Jalix Hunt out of Houston.
Oh, I actually do like that pick. I was really debating him. I was almost took him.
Yep.
Dang, I wanted to not like that pick.
Out of Houston Christian, he's 6'4", 252 pounds. He started at Cornell as a safety, and then he transferred to Houston Christian, became an outside linebacker, was the defensive player of the year in his conference last year, 9 tackles for loss, 6.5 sacks, 2.5 forced fumbles.
Yeah.
So like he's from a small school. He's got to get into the NFL, get in the weight room, add size, add strength, and just learn the game more. But great athleticism, super top end talent, and he could be another small school gem. Hey, have they ever had a small school gem at pass rusher? Have they ever had that success?
Yeah, Matt Judon, who I think you also hit.
I also hit in my mock. That's great.
Look at me just teeing you up. I hate what I'm doing here.
Yes, that's correct.
I kind of do like that pick. He could be a third round guy though. I think you're a little late on him.
Well, people like you are going to be scared off by the fact that he went to a small school, started as a safety, don't know the position, and so you're just going to wait. Teams are going to follow your lead and wait, and then he's there in the fourth round.
All right, okay. Moving on to the fifth round, pick number 165. I'm taking a running back, Isaac Guarendo from Louisville. This kid is a late bloomer with big time speed. Ran the 40 in 4.33. Experience as a pass catcher. He caught 22 passes for 234 yards last year. 6 foot, 221. Got good size and big time burn. I think that he could really help kind of round out this running back core.
I actually really like that pick. I debated him. I was looking at him as well. Louisville. Lamar Jackson went to Louisville. So.
Best friends with Lamar. We're just getting the buddy squad going on.
I do like him for the reasons that you're referencing. I knew you liked him though, so I couldn't double up.
You didn't know.
So I really did toy with taking him because that speed.
Yeah.
You know, Keaton Mitchell is who knows when he gets back on the field this year. The Ravens hope that it's at some point this year, but might not be till late in the season. Serious knee injury that occurred in December. So don't know exactly when he's going to be back in the mix. Adding a guy with tremendous speed, especially while Mitchell is sidelined, I think would be a good thing. So I do like that pick. I think that could make a lot of sense.
Is that the one I hit? Is that my day three hit?
That might be your day three hit.
Okay.
That might be your day three hit.
I'd be happy about that.
My fifth round pick, number 165, is the defensive tackle Tyler Davis out of Clemson. He's 6'2", 300 pounds, so he's not like a super big defensive tackle, you know, like in the Michael Pierce or he's not in that mold, you know, like he's more body size, like more in the Matabike mold, but played at Clemson. He would give them depth in the middle of that offensive line. Basically, this is a guy, big time recruit coming out of high school, started really strong in college, dealt with some injuries the next couple of years. And then, you know, he recovered last year, had a really good season. But I think he basically can step in, give you depth there in the middle of the offensive line or middle of the defensive line, and is just a quality player who can get there at the end of the fifth round.
I think you might be a little rich. The fifth round is a little rich for me on a defense tackle for a team that didn't lose a defensive lineman. They're returning their entire defensive line.
It might be. They could honestly go the entire draft and not take a defensive tackle.
Yeah. That's going in the seventh.
That's potential. Yeah. But you know, when you have Tyler Davis staring you in the face, best player available there in the fifth round at 165.
Your big board.
On my big board. My big board, he's my 120th best player. You get him at 165. So there you go. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll dive into our final picks and our full seven-round mock. You're listening to The Lounge Podcast. We're coming to you from the SeatGeek studio. We also want to give a shout out to our friends at DraftKings Sportsbook. They are an official sports betting partner of the Baltimore Ravens, and they've got a limited time offer running right now that you don't want to miss. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today. Use the promo code FLOCK. If you are a new user, you can get a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Again, the promo code is FLOCK only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You need to be 21 years or older to play and physically present in Maryland. And as we continue this conversation here, make our final three picks, I just want to remind everybody that we're doing a live episode of the Lounge Podcast coming up Thursday night. You'll be able to watch that on our app, our website, our YouTube channel. We're going to be streaming that from a PSL event that we're having, a Ravens draft party for PSL owners. And we'll just kind of get the full stage set for what draft night's going to look like. That's going to be starting at 7:30 p.m. on Thursday. So, all right. Three picks to go here. Round six, number 218. Who you got?
This is when I get my edge rusher. Okay. This is my pass rusher. Outside linebacker, Javon Solomon from Troy.
So basically plug and play.
Yeah.
Sixth round.
Oh yeah, of course. No, this is kind of your shot in the dark a little bit. Like your dark horse candidate. And he's a fun toy, I think, for this defense. Look, he led the FBS in sacks last season with 16. Right. Yeah. You want to talk about Matthew Judon and the production that he had at Grand Valley State. Okay, this is another small school. It's Troy, big time production, 16 sacks last year. Right. He's in the 30s for his career.
Yeah, I actually always do like finding those when I'm going through the mock drafts and finding guys that fall into that category. Judon was that way. Jalen Ferguson was that way.
Yeah.
Of course, Terrell Suggs had the sack record. Now, that was a different situation with Suggs, but I think that they do value
production
generally speaking, at that position in particular.
Now, the flip side of this and why he's not like Judon and some of those other guys is his size, right? So the Ravens... typically, I look at kind of the big, you know, edge setters, big body guys, 6'3", 6'4", or bigger, you know, on the edge. That is not Javon Solomon. That's kind of the hang up and why he's here for me in the sixth round. He's shade under 6'1", 246 pounds, right? So smaller guy, smaller than Malik Ham, right? Very reminiscent, though. The counterpoint is he has really long arms. He's got like an 80-inch wingspan. That's like... what a 6'3", 6'4" guy has.
Yeah.
Right. So his build is very similar to Elvis Dumervil, a former Raven.
Yeah.
Who was kind of you know, he got that instant leverage, kind of a squattier, shorter guy with long arms, able to get underneath of offensive tackles. And Elvis Dumervil got a lot of sacks that way.
He did.
And so this is Javon Solomon's not your kind of edge setting run defender, but I think that he could be a fun toy when you're saying, hey, you know, David Ajabo has struggled to stay healthy. You know, you drafted your big body guy in Tavis Robinson last year. I think Adafe Owe is going to get the fifth year option put on him. Like, when you're looking at edge setter, I don't know. If you put the fifth-year option on Udafe Owe, you just re-sign Kyle Van Noy. You have David Ajabo. You have Malik Ham. Okay. He's, you know, developing and whatnot. But, like, I don't like not getting an edge rusher until the sixth round. But if you put the fifth-year option on Udafe, I don't know that the immediate need is there or the 2025 need is that big. And I think that Javon Solomon could be a fun toy to go in and say, go get the pass rusher, get some sacks for us.
Yeah, the fifth-year option decision comes soon after the draft. The Ravens have not made that yet,
right, May
announced 1. That yet. But, you know, we'll see what ends up happening. They have to make that decision on both Owe and Bateman.
Yep.
You know, coming up soon after the draft. All right, so my pick here, I go safety here. And I go with Dejon Anthony out of Ole Miss, 6 foot, 195 pounds. He's somebody who had production, 61 tackles, 3 picks last year. The year before that, he also had 2 picks. So, you know, 5 picks over the past 2 seasons. This right up from Lance Zierlein here. Okay, this sounds like somebody who I feel like would be a good fit for the Ravens defense. Mm-hmm. He could work both as a big nickel and a split safety. He's comfortable handling man coverage and does a nice job of staying with the routes and disrupting the catch trees with the timing. So I think that basically, like, he's a versatile player. And mm-hmm. I think when you're looking at a sixth round safety, you're looking at somebody who can immediately contribute on special teams and then also fill in a variety of potential roles. And Anthony, I think from a size, speed, production standpoint, checks all those boxes.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds good. All right. On to the seventh round, pick number 228. This is where I get my defensive tackle. I'm going with Christian Boyd of Northern Iowa. The write up on him is that he was the heart and soul of the team, physical, stout defensive tackle. Look, you just can't have too many defensive linemen. The Ravens didn't lose any, but they like to keep that pipeline well stocked.
Yeah, you can't have too many D linemen, even though you were clowning on me for taking a D lineman to pick earlier.
Took one in the fifth.
Here's where I get the running back. I do think the Ravens will...
Seventh round running back,
right?
Okay.
Just in the nick of time. Number 228, I've got them taking Rasheen Ali out of Marshall. 5'11", 206. He topped 1,000 rushing yards twice in his college career. Now, he would be a higher pick, but he tore his bicep at the Senior Bowl. So... Okay. You know, what's the how long before he gets back on the field? I think obviously the medical checks there would be significant. Like, is he just good to go when training camp starts? That injury is a little tough to everyone has a different approach there. You know, this is a productive player, and they Eric DaCosta said they're going to draft a running back. So we're all going to
So you had to make sure you squeezed one in.
I had to make sure that I got one in. And I do think that, like, I do think that his value could be hurt because of the injury, or his draft stock could be hurt because of the injury. And so then you're looking at higher value. And as we know, the Ravens have done that with guys who have come off of injuries and they've gotten good value. They did it with Andrew Voorhees. They did it with David Ajabo. There's other examples as well that where they've taken guys. They have not necessarily been scared off by that.
But the difference is you might need a running back sooner than later, right? You kind of have your stash injured running back in Keaton Mitchell.
It's
a bad pick.
No, I'm not saying, but I don't think that this guy's going to miss the whole season. It's not like a Voorhees situation where it's a redshirt.
Yeah, but he's going to come back maybe when Keaton Mitchell comes back. Now he doesn't have a roster spot. It's a bad pick.
No, this is a good pick. This is a great pick. I like your running back too from Louisville. I do like your running back, but mine's just a little bit better in the seventh round. All right, pick number 250.
Pick number 250. I'm finishing with a third offensive lineman. We're going to make sure Daniel Jeremiah, you know, he cashes in on his bet. Man never misses. He almost missed last year, but he didn't with the trade. So again, he gets bailed out in the seventh round with a seventh round guard, Trevor Keegan out of Michigan. This is, you know, Michigan. Do the Ravens like Michigan products? they have to get a blocker out of the Big Ten. It's a prerequisite, right? And so this is just a really solid dude, 3-year starter, you know, back-to-back best offensive line in college football, national championship. Like, there's nothing on paper that jumps out about Trevor Keegan from an athleticism size standpoint, but he's just been a really good player on one of the best offensive lines.
You're like, wait, Jeremiah said we're going to take 3 offensive linemen. I got 1 pick left. I just got to squeeze it in.
Well, no, I actually think that there's a world in which Kingsley, Suamatia, and Brandon Coleman are your starting tackles, like, of the future.
Yeah.
And so in that case, you want more guard competition.
No, I actually do agree with that. I thought about that from the standpoint. I've obviously took Jordan Morgan in the first round, Matt Goncalves in the fourth. And so,
who was that again?
What's that?
Matt who?
Matt Goncalves.
Okay.
Out of Pitt.
Okay.
And like those guys are tackles, but Morgan, as we talked about, could potentially play guard as well. So like, so I did not take I have Jeremiah being wrong here. I don't take a third offensive lineman.
Okay, who's your last pick?
My final pick, number 250, linebacker Steel Chambers out of Ohio State. You take the Michigan guy, I got to go the Ohio State guy. Okay, so
the linebacker.
I think a linebacker, again, I look at him as special teams competition, depth, of course, behind Roquan Smith and Trenton Simpson.
Linebacker class is basically, a lot of people are saying linebacker class is not very deep at all.
Yeah.
That it's not a good year to need a linebacker. The Ravens don't really need a linebacker, but yeah, sure. I thought about that idea too, of like, it just feels like, hey, just keep drafting linebackers. You play on special teams and all that. But they've also had a lot of success with undrafted linebackers.
They have. And at 250, it's very close to an undrafted linebacker. Yeah. So they're getting somebody right in that mix. I think Steel Chambers is an intriguing player. I mean, he's got good athleticism. He actually was a running back and then transitioned to linebacker. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he's got that, like that understanding of both sides of the ball.
Yep.
And he was a good player at Ohio State. So I think that, I do think he could be like an immediate special teamer. He kind of fits to me what the Ravens would like for a linebacker as a late round pick, and just can make a lot of sense.
You know, I considered going a little wild here with my last pick and picking a quarterback. And the guy who I was thinking about was Florida State's Jordan Travis, who suffered the injury, late season injury last year, is expected to be back. You know, I mean, he fractured his leg, so it's pretty major injury. He's expected to be back, you know, who knows, by training camp, whatever, by the start of the season. But that'd be an intriguing player for the Ravens. He was a very mobile quarterback. He was in like the Heisman conversation. I mean, he was leading one of the best teams in college football and playing really well before his injury. A smaller guy, you know, not too much bigger than 6 foot, and but very mobile. You know, the Ravens kind of, to me, left the door open for the possibility of drafting a quarterback when John Harbaugh didn't really commit to Malik Cunningham as being purely their developmental third quarterback behind Josh Johnson and obviously Lamar. So, you know, Josh Johnson's a veteran who's kind of playing on these 1 year contracts. Like, do they want their next Snoop Huntley, basically, that they develop as a potential long term number two to Lamar Jackson? Travis Hunter would be, I think, or not Travis Hunter, Jordan Travis would be an interesting case of that.
Mm-hmm. You're looking ahead. You're thinking Travis Hunter.
I'll take Travis Hunter too.
Travis Hunter, just draft him in the seventh round, pick number 250. Just get out in front of it.
Exactly. I'll take it, right? What's he getting from NIL? What's Colorado giving him?
Yeah. So there you have it. That's our 7-round mock draft. You know, truth be told, I think that some of these picks will probably move because the Ravens, Eric DaCosta, has a history of making moves. You know, I don't know if all 9 of these picks will stay where they currently are.
Really, my last pick is the beginning of the Bashaudi reign of terror.
Okay.
Right. That should be it. I should just... Yeah.
Just the trade.
Just do what BRT. Bashaudi reign of terror in there. BRT, that's that pick for the 7th round.
Yeah, that's great.
Moving up to the 6th next year.
I love it. And again, we'll have the live podcast coming to you on Thursday night. And also, send us your mock drafts. I always love getting those. It's fun to see what you guys think the Ravens will do. You can email us at thelounge@ravens.nfl.net. Thank you so much for listening, and we will be back with you over the course of the weekend. We're going to do a reaction pod Thursday night after the pick is made, and we're going to be covering things all throughout the weekend. Do not go anywhere. Make sure that you're staying tuned to everything that we're posting on social media, on our app, our website. It's going to be a great weekend. So thanks for listening. Talk with you again soon.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, ah, yeah. Love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Tenor girl go shopping.
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.